You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, good morning, Charlie, and, I'll introduce the gentleman seated next to me in just a moment. Frank Brockter here, the sous chef of The Garden, welcoming you to The Garden Show.
And we're hosting a garden party today.
You are right.
Yeah.
Ben Cullen is with us.
He is, and we're going to be joined by Ben's dad, Mark, later in the show. Welcome, Ben.
Thank you. It's fun to be here. Three is a party.
Yeah, well, yeah. You got it.
Three is a party.
When Frank and I are around, two's a party, trust me. So three even makes it better.
That's a big party.
You'll note that really my only job here is to get the phone numbers on the air.
Oh, okay.
So I better do that so listeners will, call up. It's always nice.
Yeah, we get tips, we get questions, get all kinds of feedback.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, in Toronto, it's 416-360-0740, or anywhere in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Our little mantra goes this way: call early, call often, one question per call, and if you happen to be a first-time caller, please let Sebastian, our operator, know. He will pass the message on to me, and just before you get to the air, you get your garden wings. See? Oh, we've got all the bases are covered here, I'm telling you.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
I never thought someone would be as amazed at that.
I might have to walk out of here with that bell. I know some people who could use garden wings.
Well, that's the point, right?
Yes.
First-time callers get their garden wings. It's a big day because we welcome new callers all the time.
Great. Like,
we're all about that, just having some fun, learning, sharing, aiming for success whenever possible. So, Ben, you're here because you and your dad recently published a book.
That's right. We did. It's called Escape to Reality: How the World is Changing Gardening and Gardening is Changing the World. Very ambitious title. Very ambitious title. My dad's an ambitious man.
Yeah.
And so I've been working.
Well, he's whipped you into shape pretty good.
Like I said, he got me here. I don't know. We've been working together for the last 2 years, and so I helped him with this. I wrote the last chapter, which sort of, I think, brings it together and sets up, the rest of the story. And I helped him out on a few and, part of the editing process.
Wow. Both Charlie and I have signed copies, autographed copies.
I know.
Of this.
How cool are we?
It is. What a beauty.
It's a beautifully put together book.
Like,
It's beautiful looking and feeling.
We have a great publisher. Sarah Duggins is the illustrator. She's from Dartmouth, Nova Scotia.
Uh-huh.
And we worked with Nimbus as a Halifax publisher. And we are delighted with, you're right. I think I can say this. I think they did a really excellent.
Yeah, the package is gorgeous.
What a great time to be talking about this.
That's
for
right.
Christmas. What a gift to be under the tree.
That's right. It's one of the reasons Ben is here, and Mark will join us, like I said, later in the show, just to give us some, chat about what's in the book. But it's an excellent gift for a gardener. And it is available everywhere, including Home Hardware.
Including Home Hardware, of course.
I noticed that somewhere. I read that. It's available everywhere in the world, including Home Hardware, because, of course, Mark is the Home Hardware guy.
Exactly.
What were you going to say?
Well, no, I'm just looking at the clock here. We do have to take a little break before we come back.
I'm just getting on a roll.
I know. Got her all primed up, now I have to slow her down
Frank
again.
Frank has two rules. One is the numbers, the phone numbers, but also the slowing me down and going for breaks.
So here we are in the slowdown mode. Oh, skidding to a halt. Okay, we've arrived at the commercial time already. But we will return, we being Charlie, Ben, and yours truly, Frankie. And we'd love to talk to you and say Merry Christmas to you. So stay with us here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Ben Cullen and Charlie, let's get busy here.
Let's get to work.
Yes, indeed.
We're not just here as pretty faces, we got to do some work,
too. Don't pay you the big bucks to come in and just slough off,
Big bucks.
Big paid. No, wait a minute. Yeah. Barbara in Hamilton on the line first. Hi, Barbara. Welcome to the show.
Well, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to you, all of you.
Thank you.
I have the first poinsettia I've ever had in my whole life. It's beautiful.
Oh, my.
It was given to me as a gift. I don't want to kill it. And I'm not sure how to care for it and how I think you can have poinsettias grow back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Poinsettias actually are huge trees. If you ever go to Mexico at this time of year, they're all colorful. So, yes, they can live for many, many years if you can give them what they want.
Yeah. Well, this one has three different brands in it. Varieties.
Oh, nice.
So it's a big one. Lemon yellow and a pink and, the most beautiful deep velvet red.
Gorgeous. Wow. Woo.
It is beautiful. And the pot is pretty packed.
Yeah, I bet. Well, for now, just let it be in that same pot. No transplanting. Main thing I would say with that plant is no drafts. No hot air, no cold air. So no front door location, no vent blowing on it, because poinsettias are very, very susceptible to changes in temperature and will show you that by dropping all their leaves very quickly.
So
no drafts. And feel the soil. Just feel the surface of the soil every day, every second day. When it starts to feel on the dry side, give it some water. Otherwise, don't drown it. Don't water it every day. Yeah. It's going to be every 3 or 4 or 5 days, maybe. But just feel it, and you'll have a better sense of when to water based on the feel of the soil.
Okay.
Well, Barbara, based on that information and advice from Charlie, it looks like he won't be inviting me over to your place because I'm just full of hot air.
No, I don't want to tell you, Frank. I really don't. Anyway, now, if I want to keep it, when the leaves fall, I believe the leaves fall off after a while?
No, they shouldn't, but they sometimes do get a little sparse because our homes are so hot and dry.
So you don't have to store it in the dark.
Don't. No, you worry about next August. We'll talk about dark because you do use dark to get poinsettias to turn color, but that's next summer. So for now, just look after it as a houseplant. Keep it in a bright spot. Bright doesn't have to be right in a window, but bright so it's not in a dark corner. And and water, I said.
I think I have just the spot for it.
Excellent.
That's great.
And
thank
if you can,
you.
You're very welcome.
All the best to all of you.
Thank you very much. And happy Christmas to you, too.
Thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. I was just going to say, poinsettias are happy to go outside in the summer. They make a nice little shrub outside. Usually I put them in the shade, not the sun. And they're just green. They're just nice little green, bushy things. And then we'll worry about coloring them up later.
All right. Yeah. And in aid of Ben Cullen Unleashed, if any time you feel like making a comment, Charlie's not infallible.
I am not.
Whoa.
Oh, major transgression.
She's sitting in the captain's chair. Be careful.
Exactly. I have control of your microphone, my friend.
Unless we get muted, I'm just going to move on.
All right.
No, seriously,
then.
Though, jump in.
Okay,
jump in.
Sure. Well, no, I think we had that covered. So.
Okay. Yeah. Teresa in Mississauga. Hello, Teresa. Good morning.
Oh, I know what Teresa's got. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. Good morning, Charlie. Good morning, Frank.
Yeah, what's going on at your place?
I have this beautiful waterless amaryllis. Mm-hmm. It's not in dirt. It's on a beautiful wooden frame. Mm. Now, it's absolutely gorgeous right now. What do I do? Can I save that even though it's not in soil?
Nope.
Oh, no, that's it.
That's a one-time, very unusual offering. I have one at home as well. It's on a wire. I feel sorry for the amaryllis bulb. They used a wire, stuck it up into the bulb, and it's a coil at the bottom. So it just sits nice and flat on that wire base.
Yeah, it looks
and
like
it's waxed.
Glued on.
The bulb is waxed just to hold the moisture in. And they're lovely. They just bloom, do their thing. I'm on my second flower stalk right now, and then it's compost.
Yeah.
Wire out into the compost. You can't. The bulb is being robbed of all of its nutrient as we speak, and there's no replenishment possible into the bulb because there's no soil, there's no roots, there's nothing going on.
I can't scrape the bottom and put it in water and let it root?
It no.
No,
it'll
rot. That. Yeah. It'll rot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. But it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah,
now.
Enjoy it. It's a very cool. It's a really cool idea.
It's
actually,
striking to see.
And if you love your amaryllis that much, next, you know, October, November, there's lots of amaryllis for sale, particularly Toronto Botanical Gardens has huge, beautiful bulbs for sale that you can pot up.
Oh, I see. Will it last till Christmas? It's in full bloom right now.
If you can keep the temperature cool around the plant, it will last quite a long time. It's all about temperature.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you very much, everyone. Have a nice Christmas.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for taking my call.
Merry Christmas to you and yours, too. Thank you for joining us here in the Garden Show. We're coming up to a little break here, but let me remind you of those phone numbers, 416-360-0740 in Toronto. Anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Ben Cullen guesting with us today. And hey, we're going to get his dad checking in a little bit later on. And I must tell you that Ben's a much better looking guy than dad. But, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said
that. He might be listening.
A little bigger, but...
Yeah, you do kind of tower over your dad in pictures.
Yeah, we've been trying to figure that out for a long time.
Well, actually, that's why I like your dad. He's a short guy and, you know, kind of close
you
to my
sound
heart.
Tall. We
yeah,
know.
I sound tall. Yeah.
So does he. So does dad.
Yeah.
But another big voice.
Yeah. All right. We have to slide to a halt here and come back momentarily as we broadcast live and direct from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And Charlie and Ben, let me just quickly mention, we've got a couple of lines open right now. So if you've ever thought, hey, boy, I'd like to call in The Garden Show, but every time I do, it's busy. No, right now you can get in post-haste, all right? In Toronto, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740.
Look,
all right,
look, Ben is such a millennial. He's on his phone.
I'm here. I'm listening.
Yeah,
I'm
okay. Sure, sure. That's okay. I feel like I'm at the dining room table with my kids or something.
Well, let's head out to Wasaga Beach. There is Julie. Good morning, Julie, and welcome to the show.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My problem is I have a hibiscus plant, and I've been hauling it around for about 35 years.
Wow.
It's about 6 feet tall. But he has forgot to bloom this year.
It's probably because it's a he.
You're calling it a he.
Lazy thing.
Yeah.
So is that the first year it's failed to bloom? Is this year?
Yeah, basically it has a few blooms during the winter, but it had one blossom after I brought it in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
It had one bloom on him, and that's it.
Has anything else changed? Have you moved with it? Changed its light levels, fertility?
Other than we haven't had any sun this fall.
I was going to say, it's been gray. The last
really
month,
great.
It's been super gray.
It's on an east side window.
Mm. Yeah, which is kind of minimal.
You know, we're in it's fairly shaded out behind here, so it doesn't get a whole lot of light. And
which
it looks healthy
it like.
Other than that. It's dropping a few leaves, but... That, it always did.
Yeah, the older leaves dropping, very normal with any of the tropical plants. You know, a few, not all of them, but, you know, the odd leaf, no big deal. Eastern light is the sort of the least light, I guess, other than a northern window. But hibiscus love lots and lots and lots of sun. You can't give them too much sun. So I wouldn't worry about it. If it's nice and healthy and green, be happy. If it's 6 feet tall and it's going to be 9 feet tall by this time next year, I'd give it a hard pruning in February, March.
Yeah, okay.
With the intention of taking it out once we're frost free. Get in as much sun as you can once you know it's got acclimatized to being outside. And fertilize. Don't be afraid to use fertilizer to get those blooms going. That can make a real difference.
Okay,
when was the last time?
Fertilize now then?
Nope. No fertilizer now. When was the last time you repotted it?
It was done last spring when we put it out.
Okay, perfect. So leave it a couple of years. It's fine in that pot. So it probably, you know what happens when we transplant plants? They tend to say, oh, wow, new pot, and put a bunch of energy into growing roots. So root growth takes energy. So instead of energy going into flower formation, the energy went into root formation. So it all sounds perfectly normal and as it should be.
Okay, so I won't worry about it.
Do not.
Nope.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much, and season's greetings to you all.
Thank you
so much.
And you too.
All righty.
Thanks.
And yeah. Ben, did you have anything to add to that?
No, I was smiling because I have a pet hibiscus who's that's like the exact same stage right now, and I fuss over it to the point where like my girlfriend, I think, gets jealous. I'm so devoted to this hibiscus, and it's just you got to be patient, right?
Right. Yeah.
But it's so worth it because not too many houseplants will give you that kind of color.
That's
a
true.
Big flower.
Well, yeah, I gave my mom and dad a twisted three, just like the poinsettia person who called in with three in one pot.
Yeah.
So a yellow, a red, and a pink. All in one pot.
Wow.
It's a tree, and they had a western location, so it was just always blooming nonstop. The only drag of hibiscus is the flowers only last for like 12 hours.
Right, you got to take a picture.
Yeah, it's a very. My dad did. My dad was same thing, fussing over it, misting it every hour, and all that sort of thing.
If you missed the very start of the show, maybe you missed the fact that Ben Cullen is here along with Charlie and myself to talk about a new gardening book that's out with his dad, of course, Mark Cullen, and he has written the final chapter in the book.
Ben has written the final chapter.
Yes. It's called Escape to Reality, How the World is Changing Gardening and Gardening is Changing the World. And I was looking at the front cover, thinking, God, is that ever an attractive front cover? And I looked inside, cover designed by Heather Bryan, and then the interior designed by Jen Embry. And then on the next page, this is important. Dedicated to the 159 Canadian men and women who lost their lives in Afghanistan, the Afghanistan conflict. All royalties from the sale of this book will be donated to the Highway of Heroes Living Tribute. We're planting 117,000 trees on the Highway of Heroes, one for each of Canada's war dead since 1812, plus 1.8 million trees on either side of the highway, one for each Canadian who volunteered for military service during times of war for our freedom. And you can get more details on that at HOH Tribute, Highway of Heroes, tribute.ca. I think that's marvelous.
It is marvelous. And that is something that people say, well, what's your dad do ever since you joined him in the business? Well, don't underestimate how much work it is to plant 117,000 trees in the right of way, dealing with, every layer of administration, plus raising $10 million is what their is their goal. They're at $4 million.
And that's to purchase the trees.
Do the work. Yeah, that's right. Purchase the trees.
Because it's really volunteers doing most of the planting, isn't it?
Because of the right-of-way, the trees have to be planted by trained professionals, I guess, because of traffic. A lot of the trees on the other side of the fence, the 1.8 million, can be planted by the public or whoever. I think they've had military out to help with some of those plantings.
That is marvelous.
Yeah. So it's a huge project, and I really think they're finding their stride.
It's true. It's been a couple of years, and it's really been building.
Takes a while.
Yeah, no kidding.
It takes a while.
Yeah, patience. Patience is a virtue, both in gardening and in huge projects like the Highway of Heroes.
I didn't mean to divert conversation, but I think it was an important point to
Well, thank you for bringing that up. We appreciate that.
All righty, let's get back to the phone lines here.
Sure.
Hey, there's Ida in Whitby. Good morning, Ida. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a money tree that's just sort of all of a sudden the leaves started turning yellow and dropping off.
Okay, when you say money tree, tell me more about it. Is it growing in water?
No, it's in a soil.
Okay, and what does it look like?
The soil, you mean?
No, the plant. Just because money tree is about four plants that are called money tree.
Oh, I see. Well, it's tall and spindly, and it grows quite quickly.
Okay, it's a Dracaena, by the sounds of it. Dracaena is a specific kind of plant. So tell me, it's suddenly you said it's starting to drop its leaves?
It turns yellow and falls off, yes.
Have you got it in any light at all?
Yes, it's in the... We live in a condo, and it's just glass all the way around.
Oh, okay,
could this be another draft problem?
On the underside of the leaf, there's like a little sticky substance.
Oh, that's what it is. You have probably spider mites. Spider mite are so small you won't see them without a magnifying glass, but they do poke holes into the underside of the leaves, and as a result, juice starts to dribble out and they get sticky. If you hold the plant up to the light, up to the window, you will see webbing on the plant. And if you see any webbing whatsoever, you know you have spider mites. And if you do, I would probably just throw it away. I would not even compost it.
Time
I would
to cash put it in
right,
the money tree.
Right in the garbage. yeah, exactly. I like that. Cash in the money tree is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
It's really hard to kill any spider mites.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sorry about that. All right, we are going to be joined by us, another special Cullen member of the Cullen family.
That's right.
Ben's father, Mark, is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Hi there.
Hey, there you are.
I hear a little baby in the background.
That's a little two-year-old Neil. He's a gardener in training.
I bet. Are you training him as we speak? Have you got the trowels out and some soil?
Yeah, well, we're training him at something else that's kind of more important before we get to the dirt in the garden.
Good point. Yeah, Mark, you would have been here, except that you are on grandfather duty right now, I understand.
That's right.
Good for you. Well, I'm sure your children totally appreciate that. That's your daughter's.
Well, it's a family affair, as you know, Charlie.
I do.
A little tip I can offer you, Mark. You give so many wonderful tips to folks. I can give you one retraining. I have two boys, and when they were very young, we found a great success in offering them a maraschino cherry if they hit a little cork that we had floating in the special water there. You know, if they nailed it, they'd get a maraschino cherry. And we still continue that by giving him a bottle of cherries at Christmas.
Yeah. Really? I'll try that with Ben next time I want him to do something.
Carrot and stick.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So congratulations on your latest book, Mark. It's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
It's a really good-looking book, and it's a great read.
Well, that's really good to hear. Thank you, Charlie. Ben and I have had a lot of fun working on this for almost 3 years.
Yes. And I read it last night, cover to cover. I speed read it. But, but you know what I was so thrilled about, Mark? In the book, you and I are saying the exact same things. You're writing the things in the book about what's the way we used to do things. It's, you know, it's old, mm-hmm. it's new again. The moving away from chemicals, the very strong acceptance and recognition on the importance of biodiversity and pollinators and avoiding synthetic chemicals in our gardens, you know, nurturing the soil, nurturing, stewarding the land. And that's what I teach my students at Durham College. That's my whole, I've said this over and over to them. So I was going, oh, wow, I really recognize what Mark is saying. I'm going to take this book and read it to the students.
Yeah, exactly.
And go, look, you know, I'm not the only person who's telling you this stuff.
We could give you a deal on 20 or 30.
Except I have
give each kid a buck.
I have like 75 students in my soils class coming
up. Whoops, the offer just went out the
window. So, and the book is available all over the place, I hear.
Yes, it is. It's Amazon and Chapters Indigo, independent bookstores, and of course, Home Hardware carries it as well.
Yeah, I'm glad slid that in there. Yeah, good for you.
And you know what else? Did you know that Toronto Botanical Gardens has a special deal? If you buy the book at the Toronto Botanical Gardens limited time offer, purchase the latest book by Mark Cullen with Ben Cullen, Escape to Reality, and receive a $10 off any TBG membership.
Hey, there
you go.
That's
great.
Yeah,
that's pretty nice.
So that's a great gift.
That's a really good deal.
Gift for gardeners.
Yep.
So, and obviously being a member of the TBG is supporting a really important botanical garden right here in our own backyards,
which
is fundraising like crazy because of their expansion opportunities.
Expansion is going to be huge.
Yeah, from a tiny garden to a big garden. So, yeah.
Well, you know what? You could probably take your hand away from Neil's mouth now and let him talk or something. Because he's been awfully quiet.
He left the room.
Oh, did he?
Oh, geez. What trouble has he gotten into?
I was going to say, do you need to go after him? Two-year-olds are very unpredictable.
Oh, yes.
So,
you know, speaking of sons, Ben's contribution to this book is really important, Charlie. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got, I saw a great opportunity to hear the voice of a millennial who, they have their own opinions, as you've probably learned from Durham College.
And from my children as well.
My recommendation to anybody that picks up the book is to start with the last chapter. Read that first.
Good point.
That's the only chapter that Ben wrote exclusively without any edits from his dad. And it kind of helps you understand where we want to go. Mm. So start with that and then go to the beginning of the book and you'll understand why the subtitle of the book, Escape to Reality, How the World is Changing Gardening, and gardening is changing the world, really came to be.
Yeah. No, I hear you. It's a big, big title. But, you know, I know, like, I have a 29-year-old daughter who lives in an apartment in downtown Toronto with quite a large balcony. And her balcony is wall-to-wall pots of vegetables and herbs every summer.
Packed. And that's where we started with expanding the definition of gardening, right? Because not all gardeners have a suburban lot.
Right. So we want to be inclusive of your daughter and people like me who also does not have a suburban lot.
No, but you've got your hibiscus that you're nurturing.
I've got my baby hibiscus.
Yeah, so, you know.
And my allotment and so forth. But,
that's right.
And it's a form of direct action because we live in this time of sort of precarious environmental issues. And it's definitely weighs on the minds, especially of younger people, I think.
Yeah. And even,
as it should.
I agree. Oh, sorry. I was just going to say one other thing that my daughter has gotten into is guerrilla gardening. It's that always having a little pocket of seeds, little package of seeds.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know, that's the waste spaces where there's nothing growing. And it's making little seed bombs even, tossing them as you walk.
Seed grenades.
Yeah. Seed grenades. Yeah. That's exactly the type of direct action,
In the
activism,
urban,
in the urban environment. That's important. It really is.
I tell my students about that, and they're going, what a great idea. Because some of them are, that's exactly what's driving them. It's to beautify the world.
How can we help? So simple, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good point.
Hey, Mark, what a delight to have welcomed you to the show to join your son, Ben, and continued good luck with the book. You don't need my good wishes. It's going to be an automatic.
We can use all we can get.
It's a great gift.
Thank you very much.
We really appreciate it. We appreciate the attention you're giving us this morning, and you always do, Charlie. You're so supportive. And Ben and I will see you at Bloom's.
Perhaps.
Yeah,
we'll see. Okay. Take it easy. Thank you, Mark. Thanks for joining us. Look after that, Neil. Merry Christmas.
As we wave bye-bye there to Mark, we're keeping the hold on Ben, but we do have to take a little bit of a break
unfortunately.
Let me repeat the phone number, although I don't really need to. We got a jammed line, but 416-360-0740 in Toronto and anywhere in the province, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. Back with our callers on The Garden Show here on Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Ben Cullen, I'm so happy you're here to witness this wondrous event. We've got a first-time caller on
the line. Oh, wow.
Yes, indeed. There we are. That's for Isabel in Midland. Hi, Miss Isabel.
Hi, that's me.
That's you.
Who?
Welcome to the show.
Charlie and Frank. I must tell you, I enjoy your show, especially your really old music.
Oh, really? Oh,
like
very
the real
good.
Real old music to the 40s.
Yes.
On.
Well, you like that?
You'll have to listen to BBSN, this big band Sunday night. Tomorrow night, I'll be here from, 7 in at night through to 11.
Oh, on this station?
That's right, AM 740,
Well, I'm going to tune in then.
Very good.
Don't get very many channels that have music these days.
That's right.
Right.
Well, that's great.
Well, welcome to the show. What can we help you with?
Thank you. Well, I just want to tell you something, I can whine about part of it, but I shouldn't really. I have a Christmas cactus, one plant that's about 55 years old, and from that I have a lot of other smaller plants, so I have quite a few of them. And normally they bloom from October to June.
Wow. Happy.
About 8 months. They used to go to about May, and then last year they went to June.
Wow.
This year, maybe they got overworked, but they've only started blooming at the end of November to into December.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are just starting now, but some of them are really, they've got a lot of blooms on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm whining about why they didn't go 8 months instead of assuming they go till June. I don't know why they were a little bit late starting.
But I think you hit the nail on the head there. You said maybe they overdid it last year. Any blooming plant will rarely give you the same quantity of bloom every year. So you'll have big bloom years and low bloom years. Fruit trees are a perfect example of that.
Uh-huh.
One year it's a bumper crop, next year not so much. Just because of the energy required
produce
all that.
Say that they weren't. It wasn't a bumper crop. They're full of. They're covered in bloom.
Yep.
It's just they were a little late starting, and I wondered if maybe they. Do you think at some point I should be repotting them?
Well, a 55-year-old Christmas cactus must be very large.
Well, it's big, but it's not humongous.
Okay, because I've seen them. I've had people send me pictures.
Yeah.
You know, sort of 4 or 5 feet across, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Christmas cactus, that same thing, you know, 40, 50 years old. How do we repot it? Well, it can be done. You just need like 5 friends to sort of hold up the plant while somebody climbs underneath and takes away the old one. Because you can't flip these plants upside down when they get really big. You'll end up breaking
it's
the...
like an elephant.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, so...
it is covered in bloom, so I guess I shouldn't be...
Don't be doing any repotting now. If you wanted to do some repotting, think about the spring. And Christmas cactus, unlike so many of our other houseplants, because they bloom in the winter, this is the time when we do fertilize them. So we support that bloom by providing a flowering plant fertilizer to them. Generally speaking, our houseplants are not actively growing, and we do not fertilize in the winter. But in the case of, say, orchids, African violets that are blooming, Christmas cactus, things, that, the poinsettia that someone's just brought home, you know, been given as a gift, yes, you can fertilize those plants at this time, at the most once a month, and support that bloom.
Which is what I do.
Okay.
You mentioned an orchid cactus. does it only bloom once a year?
I mentioned actually orchids and cactuses, but orchid cactus, yes, I believe so. Unless you can, it's all about optimal conditions.
Yeah. I've had as many as 100 blooms on my orchid cactus.
Wow.
It only blooms once, but then maybe a month later, it'll put maybe one or two blooms on it.
Right, again.
It.
Nice. Wow. Beautiful.
So, but it's beautiful when it blooms. It's kind of an ugly-looking plant when it isn't blooming.
But,
and it is huge.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you've got quite the plant thing going on up there in Midland.
Well, you know.
Well, thanks for joining us, Isabel. Pleasure to make you part of the show here.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Sure. I just wanted to brag about it and see if you can improve on it.
That's a big part of gardening. bragging part.
The bragging.
Call and brag anytime. Yeah.
And the competition. I love the competition, right?
Indeed.
How many red ribbons, blue ribbons, gold ribbons can you get?
We're going to go from Midland to Burlington, and there's Joan waiting on the line. Good morning, Joan. Welcome to the show.
Good morning and a Merry Christmas to everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, Charlie, I had an orchid given to me. I've had several, but this one... on Mother's Day, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It bloomed and bloomed and bloomed for the longest time. Then all the flowers dropped off, and the flower stems actually went dry and shriveled up completely.
Okay. That's
fine. I cut them off.
Good,
Is there any chance that this is going to come back?
Oh, for sure. Tell me, so you've had it since Mother's Day. It's not been blooming for the last, whatever, month or two, because those blooms do last a long time. So what kind of window have you got it in? What kind of light?
Well, it faces south, southwest.
Okay. And you don't...
About 4 feet from the window.
4 feet, okay.
I get lots and lots of sun.
That's lots of sun. And it doesn't even need that much sun. You could put it in more of an east or a northern window if you wish.
I don't have one.
Okay. Or you could put it a little further away from the window, if you wish.
Okay.
So tell me how you water.
As you suggested, I dunk the whole pot into water.
Perfect.
So completely. And then for about 10, 15 minutes, then just let it drain out.
Perfect.
And I do that only when it's really dry.
Excellent. And have you provided any orchid fertilizer to this plant?
Not since I lost the flowers.
Okay. So what I would do is just carry on as you are.
Yeah.
By February, March, time to start fertilizing. And I think you'll be surprised. You may even see a flower stem emerge before that. But by spring, for sure, you will.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah, they're great. Okay, they're good plants. You sound like you're doing just the right things.
This other one's kind of boring without flowers, though. It's getting patient, waiting for it.
I know, but that's what we learn as gardeners. Be patient.
Be patient.
Be patient.
In just moments, Ben, Charlie, and Frankie are going to amble on to Elveston to say hi to Diane after these words.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, folks, let's head to Elveston.
Frankie.
There's Diane. Yes.
You're on a roll with getting to those callers. But I just wanted to share one thing. I last night tweeted out to to the world that I was pretty excited about all the garden expertise that was going to be on the show today. And I said, I included at Mark Cullen and his son at Ben Cullen, thinking that I might be getting the right Ben Cullen because there's a bunch of Ben Cullens out there. So what happened was Mark responded and said, we're looking forward to it, Charlie. And the Ben Cullen who I had included said, looking forward to it, Dad. And then, what is even cuter is because it turns out this wasn't the real Ben Cullen. This morning, we have another tweet from Ben Cullen. It says, sorry, at Charlie Dobbin, me and the old man are pulling out, hanging out our asses. We had a mad one last night. All the best for the show. So I go, Ben, is this, like, did I get the wrong Ben Cullen? Sure enough, I did.
That's classic.
But clearly, that Ben Cullen has a great sense of humor.
He does. The other Ben Cullen's got a great sense of humor. I wish I was that clever.
Yeah, well, two Ben Cullens, obviously. Too funny, though.
Man, good stuff. Oh, we all need a laugh. Okay, Diane in Elveston, your turn next. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, or good dull morning, I guess it is.
Another one. Yeah. Good morning.
Yes, yes. My question is regarding bottom watering, that having a plant in a tray and letting it suck up the water anytime. Is that good for it or not?
Oh, for sure, but not anytime. You only water from the bottom when the plant is very dry, like it's time to water. You don't constantly keep water there.
Okay.
Right. So, and some plants really benefit and really will often die if they're not bottom watered. One would be cyclamen, which is a flowering plant seen at this time of year, given as a gift often. African violets, they much prefer bottom watering. But but you say to yourself, okay, this little African violet, I would normally give it about a quarter of a cup of water every 10 days, 2 weeks. So instead of pouring that in the top, we just pour that into the saucer below and leave it alone for 10 days, 2 weeks before you do it again.
Okay, so not just keep water in there all the time.
No, that'll rot the roots.
Rot the roots.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Good to know.
Unless it's a
thank
water
you
plant.
So very much.
Thanks for
thank
calling.
Thank you, Diane.
Yeah, all right, thank you.
Thank you. Nothing worse than rotten roots, by golly.
Oh, you know
Marianne in Toronto, let's try and squeeze you in here. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Merry Christmas to all of you.
Thank you.
You too.
I have a question about an aloe. I have an aloe. It's not an aloe vera. Mm-hmm. It's more of a light green, soft, succulent aloe. And it grows like crazy. And when it gets really big, it hangs off the pot and trails. And now how do I train it?
You know what I think you've got? Why do you think it's aloe?
Because it's a succulent. It's got little barbs on the side of the leaf, but they're not sharp barbs like the aloe vera. So I think it's some sort of aloe.
Hmm. So two things we could do. One is can you take a picture and email that to me? Then I can tell you for sure what it is. But anyway, bottom line is you were wondering about the trailing off the edge of the pot?
Yes, it just keeps on going and going and going.
Yes, they do. I mean, that's the thing. Plants, when they're happy, will grow, right?
Right.
And we're not always happy with how they grow.
Oh.
So that's the challenge. Slow right down on your watering. You'll find you'll slow its growth down a lot, and that very sort of soft growth, you'll have less of it if you have much drier, more harsh, desert-like conditions for the plant.
Right.
And of course, you've got it in lots of light, I would hope.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so the brightest spot in your house?
Well, yeah, in the east window.
Okay. Do you don't have anything west or south?
Yes, I have west.
Because that is, you know, we can, the west light is a little more intense just because it's that late afternoon sun versus the softer early morning sun. So western light is usually considered a brighter, you know, more intense light, which obviously any of the desert plants would like. Also, no fertilizer whatsoever.
Well, okay. The reason I think it's an aloe because an old fellow gave it to me and he said, when you split the leaves, you can take the gel out and use it for sunburn, or if you get a cat scratch when we used to have cats.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of a healing thing.
And aloe has a very ancient medicinal uses. So you're right. It certainly could be. I mean, we always sort of think of aloe vera as the one that we most commonly see and grow. And, you know, they're easy to grow, et cetera. But you're right. There are other aloes out there, a bunch of them now. I'm just on Wikipedia, it looks like there's about 50 or more common species of aloe besides the aloe vera.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Is there any chance of you being able to take a picture and send it in via email to Charlie?
I'll try, but I'm not very computer savvy.
That's okay. Somebody in your family or circle of friends will certainly know how to do that with all the iPhones out there. Have just take a picture, and then if you've got a piece of paper and pencil handy, jot down the address where you can send that photo, and it is c.dobbin, that's D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. And Charlie will take a look at it and probably be able to tell you right away what it is. Okay?
Thanks, Marianne.
Thanks, Marianne. And do we have to... Oh, look at that. Saving
look,
the day.
Cute.
Well, at least let's say good morning. The only guy who's called in, been able to get through, and that's Warner in Tilsonburg, one of our favorite guys on the line right now.
Good morning, Warner.
Hello. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
So, Ben,
just called in, tell you the tomatoes are all gone.
I bet they are.
I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you, Warner.
Thank you for calling, and you should have brought us some tomatoes.
Yeah, and listen, if I miss you in the mattress, I see you in the spring. Okay, guys, have a good one.
You take care of Dusenberg for us there, pal.
Thanks, Warner.
Merry Christmas. So, just love that guy.
Okay, so just to let Ben in on what's going on here, Warner's got a really... crazy little recipe for growing tomatoes, and it works
like a charm.
And we've had many callers want to know his recipe, so it became kind of a thing. Warner had to keep calling in for his recipe to explain it to people, and then he had to give us updates. And what it is upside down pop bottles with the bottom cut off at the base of each tomato.
Oh,
and into that goes skim milk powder, because for the calcium. And it just sort of goes on and on and on, and then water, and he grows amazing tomatoes.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. I can flip back and give you the proper recipe. But
well, that's got to go online somewhere.
Yeah, it should. I mean, really, now that you say that, I should be.
Well, in your next book, you can include that. You
know? Maybe the next one will be a how-to.
There you go.
Doing a how-to, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
So he's lovely, and we've had a lot of response to his recipe.
It's nice to have regular callers.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. And first-timers, too.
And it's been very nice to have you in the studio.
Well, thank you. It's fun. I love radio, and I love you guys. I listen to you in my car, so.
Yeah, you listen to the podcast, don't you?
I download it. Yeah. I download it, and I listen to it on the go. So.
Excellent.
Yeah,
okay.
Well,
Escape to Reality. That's the book that featured, this morning on the show, Mark Cullen with Ben Cullen.
Thank you, both of you. Thank you, Franklin, and to all the callers.
Thank you, Charlie.
See you next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.